Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sunday afternoon. We are here in Houston, Texas with Bully Talk Radio for Texas. Connection back. All right. Sorry about that. We had a little connection issue. We're here with Texas Bully Talk Radio coming to you live from Houston, Texas. This is your bully woman, Ashley of Journey Rain Kennels, here with you today. I got my boy Capo running the board. We have a great episode in store for you this evening. Remember that you can always check us out. We have groups on Facebook put together by Capo. We have the Dallas Philly group. We have Houston Pitbulls and Bullies, Austin, Waco. Search these groups on Facebook. Add them. We're going to give you a place to find quality, registered bullies for sale, health information, shows coming up, and other just general information. People ask questions. People provide input all the time. Post your dogs for fun. Sometimes we run some contests. Our main goal is to help educate the community about the bully breeds and getting it out there of what it is and getting rid of some of these misconceptions that exist. Just for a minute, we're going to take a shout-out for Mr. Martin. Thank you, Mr. Martin, for purchasing our cover space. We have that cover space available again for December 6th. So if you have a breeding coming up, a kennel, a bully business, anything that you have bully-related that needs exposure, this is your chance. These groups reach over 25,000 members who see our ad space, and you have an opportunity to get your information put in that space. Get in contact with the admins of our groups, add the group pages, just post up there, and we'll get you in touch with the right person about getting that ad space taken care of for you for the month. So, again, thank you, Mr. Martin. He's the owner there of El Chapo, who you can see. That's a beautiful boy. He's posted on all of our cover pages across the country. So if you're interested in that stud service he has posted there, make sure you get in contact with him. Today's show, I'm very excited to bring you a special guest today. We have the one and only Gary Moore coming live today. Gary, a.k.a. the doctor, representing Grayline, and he also has Doc Oils line that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But we're going to talk a little bit about this Grayline first. So those of you who don't know about Grayline, it's definitely where some of your research did go with this notorious Juan Gotti being the foundation in a lot of pedigrees. But I'm going to let Gary get to his story and tell you some more about that. Gary, are you with me today? Mic check. Do we have Gary on the line?
Yeah, he's on the line. I think he has a bad connection.
Hold on. All right, let's see if we can get this connection worked out. Looks like Texas might have a little bit of some weather rolling in. While we're waiting to get Gary in the line, let me tell you about some upcoming shows that we're going to be having in the bully community. I'm sorry. So coming up in the bully community, we have nationals. November 19th, we have nationals there in New Orleans for ABKC. We are going to have in the building myself. I'll be going live with our show from nationals this year. You're going to have people from all over the country, all over the world flying in to come down to New Orleans for one day, one show to lay it all down on the line for ABKC and see who our national winner for the year is going to be. So I'm really excited to get with some of these bully people that you see a lot on Facebook and you may not live close enough to get linked up. So I'm excited to see people there at Nationals coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from yesterday. So get ready, get down there, get set up. We also have coming up December 3rd, there is an ABKC show in Austin. It's four shows in one. That ABKC show is going to be Saturday, December 3rd. It's going to take place, I believe, at the Travis County Expo Center. I'm trying to pull my notes up. Yeah, the ABKC Bully Breeders Cup 2016. That's going to be Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m. Travis County Expo Center. They're in Austin, Texas. December 3rd, you also have a show in Houston. There's a show right here in Houston, Texas, December 3rd. And that one, let me that information. Sorry, I don't have this stuff. It didn't save right where I wanted it. That one's, I know in Houston, it's more of the IBR. I want to say it could be IBR. Let me get this for you. But come on out. If you're heading to Nationals in New Orleans or if you're heading to Austin, those shows, I'm going to try to go live from them. I know the same weekend as the Austin show, December 3rd, you have that Houston show. So I know some people are not going to be at that same one. So that Houston show is the
Bully.
Modern day.
It's a Bully show.
Yeah, the USBR.
Got Gary on there talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about this dog.
There we go. All right, so USBR show was December 3rd also here in Houston. On Jefferson Street. But back to our main topic today. Gary's with me now. Gary, you there?
Come on.
He's coming in and out. He had some issues with the line. I'm talking to him right now. Yeah,
okay.
He had an emergency. Here he comes. Sorry about that.
No problem. Just chime in whenever he's ready, and we'll get back to that part. So make sure you're joining these Facebook groups. Excuse this technical difficulty. We'll be with you with Gary and interview him in just a minute. But remember to look up our Facebook groups, the Dallas Bully Group, the Houston Pitbull and Bullies. There's an Austin and a Waco group, and you'll see us on there. And we usually have links to all these different things that we talk about on those websites. If you want to call in the show in just a little bit, we'll have the guest line open to talk to Gary in just a little while, 516-387-1955, and so you'll be able to ask him questions when we finish the interview. So remember, upcoming shows, Nationals in New Orleans, November 19th. You have ABKC Cup in Austin, December 3rd. You have the USBR show, December 3rd in Houston. I know February there's another show down in Seguin for ABKC, and I'm sure between now and then there's going to be some other ones that we'll mention coming up, and we'll have those on future shows. Just real quick to introduce Gary, I know he's going to get on, and we're going to talk to him about Grayline, some of that foundation, but we're also going to talk to him about Doc's Oils. So if you've had any issues with skin, with heat rashes, with hot spots, with fleas, with mites, with ringworm, there's any type of skin issue that you're having with your dog. He even has a mange mite kit. Gary Moore has created this natural line of product that is going to help you out. If you don't have this stuff and you haven't tried this stuff, you need to get it. It has become a staple on my shelf now after trying it. Knowing that it's made with all natural oils is definitely a plus for me. It's one of the reasons why I started to look at it. I've had issues with some of these pharmaceutical medicines, giving them to my dogs, to where they've either had reactions. I've actually lost a dog due to a reaction to the chemicals in some of these things. The pharmaceutical companies are not made with natural products, not for humans, not for dogs. And so just like how people have reactions to medications, dogs do it too. And so I've been looking at a lot more natural products. Now, my girl coming up, I'm getting her ready for Nationals. She's got a couple little hot spots on her I'm trying to get rid of, and I went straight to Doc's Oils. I even messaged Gary the other day. I had a kind of a sinus infection, which you can still kind of hear me coughing, getting over it. But I told him, I said, I know it's safe for dogs. I know it's natural. I just wanted to make sure, like, the human contact, too, because I know some people put out products and they say all natural, but I just wanted to double check with him. And this is a natural grade oils to where human contact with it is also natural. So I'll tell you, I know I could tell by the smell a couple of the oils that could be in it were something that you would use for kind of sinus infections. And so I went and kind of had my nasal stopped up. I went and kind of put a little bit of the oil kind of on a cotton ball and kind of rubbed it under my nose a little bit to smell it, and it cleared up my passageway. I said, you know, it's good for humans and dogs. And he actually told me about how, I believe his daughter, uses it for eczema. And so knowing that you can use it on a human, I know it also has to be good for the dogs. And so it's definitely been helping. My girl's been using it a few days now. I've been putting it on her, and I can tell kind of the little spots are starting to heal up a lot faster than they would with anything else. Even new stock, which everybody turns to, yes, it has good stuff in it to help heal it up, but at the same time, it also has chemicals there. And so by you eliminating the nasty smell and the mess that it makes and turning to these natural oils, it has really, really helped, and it makes me feel good to be able to put something safe on my dogs. And I'm sure Gary can tell you more about those oils in a little bit when we talk to him. If you want to order that, go to his website. It's docsoils.com. They have the shampoo. You can get just oil by itself. You have a shampoo and oil kit. And then if you're experiencing mange or a severe issue, he has a mange mite kit that's specifically for that. I know I saw an issue with the dog online the other day that I feel like if they order this kit, it's really going to help them. I don't benefit from pushing this product. I just truly found that it works, and it's something that's natural, and that's something that I believe in for my dogs. Feeding more raw elements, making satin balls, things like that, that help them get kind of real nutrition, real items, instead of these fake foods or fake pharmaceutical medicines. It's something that I believe in for my kennel. Let's see, check in and see if Capo's got Gary on, if we've got the connection, or we're still trying to get that fixed. Capo, you with me? All right, I'm not sure what we got going on there. But still going with some of this, let's see, our Dallas Bully Talk. This is our Dallas Bully Group kind of online radio show. So you can go to that Dallas Bully Group. You can add Houston Pitbull and Bullies, which shout out to Toya and Kappa. They recently got 15,000 members on that one. Remember, we have Austin and Waco Facebook groups. So you can always go on and add these groups. And that's where you're going to find registered bullies for sale. I hear you now, Capo.
Good, good. Yeah, we have some connection issues. I believe Gary's with us now.
Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. All right.
Hello. Glad we got you on here. So I was just telling everybody about these Docs oils and how I've been using them, and you know, I really believe in that product. But I really have you here today because I really want to interview you a little bit and ask you kind of what got you into dogs and how that gray line developed, and kind of talk along that lines for a few minutes.
Oh, all right. I got involved with dogs, especially the pit bulls. In Compton, California, I got my first pit bull, non-registered, of course, and fell in love with the breed. And Tony, he took all my dogs when I joined the Navy. He took all my dogs, and he ended up selling all of them. He bred some of them, sold them, made money, and bought himself some registered dogs. And he ended up buying a dog named Tony Showtime from Candace Eckert of Long Beach, California. And then Tony hooked up with a homeboy of ours who we went to high school with, Warren Westbrook, and they did some breeding together, and that's how the Gray Line dog started, with Warren Westbrook and Tony Moore. I had joined the Navy, so I wasn't breeding any dogs, and I later got involved with breeding the Gray Line when I went home to Los Angeles on leave during Christmas time in 1994. And I purchased a dog by the name of Blue Dallas, Moore's Blue Dallas. So while Tony and Warren were putting the dogs out in Los Angeles, California, on the West Coast, I was doing it overseas in Japan. Gray Line was introduced in the early 1995 to the people over in Southeast Asia.
Wow, well, definitely thank you for your naval service on that note. And that's awesome to hear that you were able to start not only just in our, you know, neighborhoods, but internationally right off the bat there. Did the name Gray Line come about because of the coat color, or is there maybe another reason behind that?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, it came out with actually two things that kind of gave Tony the name Gray Line. The color of the coat, and not only the color of the coat, but also the Greyhound bus. You know, Tony always seen the little Greyhound on the bus, and Tony's like, we're going to call the kennel Gray Line. So a combination of two things.
That's neat. I know there's always usually a story behind, you know, what people come up with, so that's neat to hear. And so I remember you mentioning Showtime, and would you consider Showtime kind of the dam of Gray Line, and who would you consider kind of the sire that started it all?
Yeah, Showtime was like the dam of the Gray Line, and I'm going to have to give Camacho his props, because a lot of people, they don't know the whole story about what happened with Camacho and Barney. It was a big mess, but I believe that Camacho was the sire of Raider 2, and I only believe that because the dogs look like Camacho, and they come out and can't deny that. But, you know, people are so quick to come to the conclusion. They don't know that back in 94, 5, 6, 7, we didn't have no DNA. You know, two dogs actually bred to Showtime, and that's what happened. Irresponsibility on my brother's part of not making sure she was secured, and so I would have to say Camacho and then Barney second. But then again, there's a guy named Oliver Dela Cruz, a good friend of ours. Now, I got to back up a little bit, because Oliver, he did the very first breeding with Tony before Warren. So let me back up. Oliver has a big part to do with it also, because I got a dog off of Showtime and Dela Cruz Crazy Lou, known as Chopper. So Oliver Dela Cruz, he's a big part of the Gray Line family too. So I want to make sure I clarify that. I got to give Ollie his props.
Right. And then, yeah. Now, when we have Gotti, obviously, if people are researching their pets, they're going to see Gotti in many of them. We have over 700 registered dogs with UKC from XL to Pockets, and you're going to find Gotti in the back of many of those. Is it safe to say that he started a good line and got this guideline movement going?
Yeah. Back in the day, there was a lot of people's feelings getting hurt. And this, Gotti is a Gray Line dog. A lot of people don't realize that Gotti is a Gray Line dog 100%, and so was Monster, West Side Monster. But Gotti, Richard Barraz, he did his thing. He used to breed Gray Line dogs. He took Gotti and he bred Gotti to several Gray Line dogs, and then he decided he wanted to change the look up and get a different type of dog, a style of dog, a lower, stockier, big block, big bone dog. So he used whatever he used to with Gotti to produce dogs like that. And at first I had a big problem with it, I'm going to be honest and open. But, you know, the man did his own thing. He made his own bloodline. He used whatever he used behind his dog's pedigree. They surely do not look like the traditional Gray Line dog. So it's safe to say that he made his own bloodline, and how he did it and what he used, that's only he knows the secret to that. But Gotti is a well-produced, known producer, and he produced a lot of these dogs that started off on the West Coast. People try to get it twisted, but I'm here representing the West Coast. We started this stuff, you know, this bully stuff. Larry Duran played a big role in it also. He was responsible for putting together a lot of shows with a lot of people.
Now, I know you were mentioning Richard and how, you know, he's of West Side Kennels, and kind of how he had a hand in definitely making Gotti great, and that name, you know, is household today. Can you kind of give some insight on the change of I to Y? And then also at the same time, you mentioned, you know, creating the bloodline. You know, a lot of people, we say four generations. But can you kind of explain to some of these new people about creating a bloodline and how it doesn't just happen overnight with two dogs?
Sure. I love talking about this subject because you got a lot of newbies out there. They buy a dog, and I'll use my brother Tony, for example. I'll use Grand Fuba. That was my top stud in my kennel. Tony gave me Grand Fuba. Grand Fuba was a gray line dog 100% all the way through his pedigree. I got my dog from my brother Tony. If I took Grand Fuba and said, oh, I want to go ahead and start another bloodline, I want to call it Fuba line, without doing any work, without breeding, outcrossing, inbreeding, and things of that nature, line breeding, cousins, first cousins. That's not how you create a bloodline. You're just taking something from somebody else and putting your name on it. You have to take the dogs, take them out. You got to take them outside of the bloodline that they are. I'll just use an example. These are hypothetical, and it probably happened. You can take some Razor Edge, some Gray Line, and now you have Gotti line. You can take those three bloodlines, and somehow they all end up in the same pedigree to where you have a dog that's solid, say a female, for example. Then you take it, and you say, well, I want to go ahead and use some watchdog. And you take a watchdog and breed it to the dog, and then you take that dog all the way back into what you first started with, and you take offsprings off of that, and you start line breeding them. I didn't say inbreeding, line breeding them, and then if you want to do inbreeding, that's your choice. Until you get at least four generations to get you started. But it takes seven generations to have your own bloodline. You know, some people might disagree with me. That's fine. It's okay to agree to disagree. But you put work into it. You don't just buy dogs and stamp your name, and that's what a whole lot of people are doing. You don't take two razor-edge dogs, put them together, and you haven't even outcrossed them, and then you stamp it that you want this to be whatever line you were trying to create with your last name. So a lot of people don't want to put the work in. They just want to stamp their name on it, this and that. If you want to make yourself self-gratified with that, then, you know, so be it. But that's not how you make a bloodline. It takes years of breeding, selective breeding.
Yeah, that's definitely why I tell people, you know, especially newer people. I know I'm not deep in the game, haven't been here a long time, but I have a passion for it, and I have a love to research. And you have to look at these different pedigrees and look at the backgrounds of what created them and kind of what's produced when they're put together. And that research is really where you develop yourself further and start to really put some masterpieces together. Seeing with Gotti definitely being that foundation, is it safe to say your brother Tony started the bully game when he produced Gotti back in 97?
I won't say that he started it because there was other people. Tony couldn't do it by himself. You know, it's safe to say that Oliver De La Cruz and Warren Westbrook are the founding fathers of the bully breed that came off the West Coast. I feel comfortable saying that. You know, yeah, my last name is Moore Grayliner, and I'm not the founder of the Grayline, but a lot of people don't know that Tony was my younger brother. I was breeding pit bulls before Tony. Tony didn't join the military, so Tony had more time to concentrate, and he concentrated on buying dogs with papers, and it turned out that he was probably one of the very few people in Los Angeles that had blue dogs at the time. And I saw Showtime, and I was like, wow, I never seen nothing like that. And it was, like, phenomenal. And then he started doing a lot of inbreeding, see? People don't know. The UKC frowned upon inbreeding. Tony did, he went against the grain. He did father and daughter, mother and son breedings, and that's what made the blood so tight. And you had the dogs double up on the genetics with big bones, big head and chest. And our model used to be head and chest above the rest. And you start doing that kind of breeding, you start getting dogs on larger frame, wider body. Okay, now a lot of people that are breeding dogs now, they're breeding a lot of unhealthy dogs. The dogs can't even breathe. You know, I'm not going to get too far into that. But they need to go back to the beginning. If they really want to be really good breeders and breed solid boys they should go back to the beginning and clean a lot of that stuff up and correct the respiratory system, the breathing, the athleticism, at least have some kind of
right.
ounce of drama.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I try to strive for. I love the old school, the old school bullies, you know, kind of some of those founding dogs that are in the back of the pedigrees is something I try to reach back for, because I just love that their beauty and their grace along with their function. They have, you know, that classic ABKC, UKC, some of the founding basically standards of what they should be. And
yeah.
I know it's changed over time, and everybody has their likes and dislikes, and we all have to agree to disagree. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be a community together. I believe we should be striving for this type of education. I mean, even on the other day on the cable company, I was on the phone changing some cable stuff, and the lady, we got to talk, I said, I'm always, you know, with the dogs and things, I don't watch TV. And we had a whole 20-minute conversation about the bully breed and the difference between a staff and a pet and a bully. And she had no clue that there was even this, you know, this difference out there. And she's like, oh, well, then I don't have a pit bull. I have a staff mix based on the DNA of her, you know, her rescue dog. So, I mean, it's just education is something that I really love that we get to do here.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned Staffordshire Terrier, because a lot of people don't know that Grey Line comes from ruffian blood to steel blood. That's where it started from. And that's Staffordshire Terrier blood mixed with pit bull. And I don't deny that, because it's in the first Grey Line bred dogs. I still have the original pedigree of my dog, Moore's Blue Dallas, and it has asterisks on the ABDA paperwork of every dog that's Staffordshire blood. So a lot of people don't even know that. They don't even know that having a ruffian dog or Castillo dog is what started the Grey Line dog. See?
Well, Gary, we're going to have to get back on next week and talk some more about this if you have time. We're running short here, and we're down to the last few minutes. I hear the music coming in the background. But if you're up for it, I'm going to have you on here again, and we're going to continue this conversation and get some more questions rolling out. I talked about Doxil earlier, so make sure y'all go check that out. Join our Facebook groups if you guys haven't already. And we'll be back on here again next weekend for you so we can continue this conversation. Thank you for joining me, Gary.
All right. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye. I know nothing, fuck the purple. Bacon soda, I got bacon soda. Bacon soda, I got bacon soda. Whip it through the glass, nigga. All right, that's it. Texas Bully Talk Radio. Keep it bully. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the lolo. Turn up. I'm in love with the cocoa. 36, that's a kilo. Again, need a brick, miss my free throw. Say why? I'm in love just like Neo. Bustin' shots, now he Neo. Metric. Free my homies, fuck the CEO. Puto. Fuck the judge, fuck my P.O. Puto. All that coke like I'm Nino. Water whip like a Nemo. Bacon soda, I got bacon soda. Bacon soda, I got bacon soda. Whip it through the glass, nigga. I'm blowing money fast, nigga. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the lolo. Turn up. I'm in love with the cocoa.